Yeah, there we go. Case closed.
We're done. Yeah, that's we're done here. Yeah, they're screaming and howling about this. Sorry, go ahead. This is, yeah, this is big stuff.
That's pretty much it.
No, they, I mean, obviously. 100% obviously. Any even, you don't even have to be a neutral observer. You can be biased in favor of social media companies or the product. And you can still recognize that they absolutely designed this product to be addictive to kids and adults. It's, you know, and there's, oh, no, we don't. Mm-mm, not us. Mm-mm, no. Yes. 100%.
Fox News. I'm CJ Papa. Nancy Guthrie now missing for 12 days. Fox's Trace Gallagher in Tucson with more on a new discovery by investigators.
Fox Digital is reporting that they have a source that says they found a pair of gloves, and those gloves happen to resemble gloves that were on the video of the suspect who apparently went up and ripped the Nest camera off of Nancy Guthrie's front door.
And the release of the Nest home video resulting in more than 18,000 tips, that from the Pima County Sheriff. Controversy at the Olympics. The IOC bans Ukrainian skeleton pilot Vladislav Hereskevich for using a helmet featuring images of Ukrainian athletes killed during Russia's invasion of his home country. Meanwhile, only one House Democrat votes with Republicans to pass the SAVE Act requiring proof of citizenship to vote in U.S. elections. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got partly cloudy skies. It is 60 degrees here across the area. We'll get to our forecast with Brooke Richardson. That's up here in just a few minutes. A candlelight vigil will be held on Friday for the five-year-old boy whose body was found in Perdido Bay last week. The vigil for Jacaden Smith is set for 5:30 p.m. at the Moorings Apartments on Old Spanish Trail Road. The public is invited to attend, and they're asked to bring candles or balloons. Jacaden's mother, Jalinda Smith, is charged with aggravated negligent manslaughter of a child. The cleanup of the American Creosote Works site on J Street could begin soon after years of delays. The EPA deemed the site to be contaminated in 1983. Remedial project manager Peter Thorpe says their main priority is cleaning up docks and soil in people's yards. That's expected to take about 6 months. The rest of phase one would include installing an underground barrier wall and capping contaminated soil. The second phase would be thermal extraction of creosote, but that's not funded just yet. Thorpe says the extraction isn't required now to develop into a park, but they'd eventually need to return and disrupt the park. Well, this is what we learned about a major gang conviction in Southwest Florida. A man described by authorities as an illegal immigrant with ties to a violent gang is now facing decades in prison. Florida Attorney General James Uthmeyer says Franklin Laura was convicted for his role in a large-scale drug trafficking operation in Fort Myers. Investigators say he's affiliated with the Sur 13 gang, known as the Mexican Mafia.
Here in Florida, overstayed a visa and decided to not only overstay his welcome, but engage in large-scale drug dealing.
And Laura could face up to 125 years behind bars. The conviction marks the 25th in what officials call Operation 13 Tears, and that's a statewide crackdown on gang-related crime. Well, after reviewing some of the Epstein files, one Florida lawmaker says he believes that he's only scratched the tip of the iceberg. That's from Florida Democrat Congressman Maxwell Front. He said yesterday, after spending 2 hours looking at some of the unredacted files made available to lawmakers on Instagram, that a lot of files related to President Trump, but he didn't offer specifics. He says he plans to go back to the Justice Department and review more of those files. Well, a bill that could help rideshare drivers save money is making its way through Tallahassee. A Senate committee yesterday approved a bill that reduces the amount of insurance Lyft and Uber drivers have to have. Under the current law, the companies have to have at least $1 million in liability coverage for death, bodily injury, and property damage. The law kicks in once the driver agrees to pick up a passenger, but under the new bill, the law would only kick in once the passenger is in the car. St. Petersburg Republican Senator Nick DeSegli is sponsoring the bill. He says it would save money for both drivers and for for consumers. 535 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 60 degrees, partly cloudy skies. Let's get a check with Brooke Richardson and see what the forecast has in store for us today.
Starting off very mild today in the 50s. Temperatures will warm up as we head through your afternoon. 69 degrees for your high, mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 52. For Friday, mostly sunny skies, high near 72 degrees. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 57. As you head into Saturday, 30% chance of some showers, otherwise mostly cloudy skies, high near 71. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 60 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And it is 60 degrees right now and partly cloudy. Our next news at 6, breaking news anytime. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Mike Gavin with Your Money Now. Google says its flagship artificial intelligence chatbot, Gemini, has been inundated by commercially motivated actors who were trying to clone it by repeatedly prompting it, sometimes with thousands of different queries. The attackers appear to want to use the information to build or bolster their own AI, and the company believes the culprits are mostly private companies or researchers looking to gain a competitive advantage. McDonald's reported quarterly earnings and revenue that topped analyst expectations as its value push wins back customers. The fast food giant reported fourth quarter net income of $3.03 per share, up from $2.80 per share a year earlier. Meta has announced plans to build a 1-gigawatt data center in Indiana. The over $10 billion data center will be located in the town of Lebanon, a suburb of Indianapolis. It represents one of the largest infrastructure projects to date, handling both Meta's AI workloads and its core products. Futures are pointing higher after the Dow broke a 3-day winning streak yesterday, but stayed above 50,000. That's Your Money Now.
Do you have questions regarding your plants and landscaping? If so, the Garden Line is for you. I am Mike Wiggins, and every Tuesday morning at 9, we are here for you on News Radio 92.3 to answer your questions. Seasonal changes call for different activities in your lawn and garden, so tune in and text or call with your questions on the Garden Line on Tuesdays at 9 and an encore each Saturday at the same time.
The Garden Line on the Pensacola Expert Panel, Tuesdays at 9 on News Radio 92.3.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
You don't always have time to sit and listen. That's why Pensacola Right Now works the way it does. Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need. So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up. Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Weekdays 4 to 7 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Morning, everyone. We're here for public forum. Public forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss.
I'll bring up one item during community announcements that I know you guys have already been briefed on. As far as agenda, I was going to ask that we take item 3 under administrative and postpone that until March till we had some more information, just because there was no backup. But seeing that no one else had any changes to the agenda, I guess we'll just move forward with that.
Now, I know that doesn't sound like much, but sometimes big things start small. And this is one of those, like, this was a small thing that seemed like it'd be no big deal, and then it turned into a something. This is at the Santa Rosa County Commission Committee meeting on Tuesday. That was Colton Wright, Rhett Rowell.
So by dedicating a portion of the local option sales tax renewal, we can save our farmland and our agricultural industry without taking away money from, again, an already tight budget.
And again, it doesn't sound like anything. The question at hand was whether to basically make a pact or an agreement or a vote to promise the voters that when the local option sales tax renewal comes up this year, it's going to be on the ballot this year, that in Santa Rosa County, a portion of that, because there are rules on what local option sales tax can be used for, like you can't use it for salaries, okay? Typically, the rule is you can use it for stuff. You can buy cop cars with it. You can, you know, build schools with it. I mean, you wouldn't build a school because that's the, you know, school board, but you could build a road with it. You can, you know, do things. You can buy things and build things with it. You can't really do everything with it. And storm projects, whatever, stormwater projects. So Ryle says, okay, we need to put land into conservation. We all agree about that. Farmland is getting sucked up by builders. And, you know, let's fix that by taking a slice of the local option sales tax money and putting it towards farmland conservation. This is something that everybody believes in. This is something that you all believe in. Let's go. In fact, let's sell that to the voters and say, if you renew this, we promise that we're going to use some of it to, you know, buy up and preserve farmland. And it's not that the county's going to own it. There are various strategies here, but, you know, transfer development rights is one of them. That means you basically compensate the farmer for allowing the zoning to basically make it impossible to ever build a house on that property again, or to ever develop it into a business again. That's the very short version of how that all works. So, and this is something that everybody's on board with, okay? So, and Ryle continues to make his case. He's the District 3. That's the north end. Okay, that's all the farmland, Jay, all that is in his district.
By protecting and insulating our ag lands, we are protecting a nearly $100 million a year industry. So the ask, I'm not asking for a percentage this morning. I'm asking for a vote by the board that we are going to dedicate a portion of the local option sales tax. I'm asking for a vote by the board that we have a guarantee that there will be a piece of that pie preserved for farmland.
That's got me thinking about pie. Okay, so anyway, the vote is not a particular number. It's a kind of a symbolic vote for something. We promise that we're going to do something. Kerry Smith, commissioner for District 2. That's Milton, East Milton.
This half-cent sales tax that we're currently going for a renewal on, it's up to the people. And that's going to be this November. And I can sit here and I can look at staff and I can look at every member of this board, and we know we're in trouble if that were not to pass. And that's the only heartburn I have, is because I don't want to put anything to where, you know, we're not seeing the will of the people.
No, what he's getting at is, first of all, both counties, okay, are really freaking out about the possibility that the local option sales tax renewal doesn't happen. Santa Rosa's is up this year, and it's going to be on the ballot, and they're freaking out about the, you know, anti-tax sentiment in general in Santa Rosa, which has always been the case. But, of course, the threat from Tallahassee that you're going to eliminate or dramatically reduce property tax income is a big problem for them as well. And so they are really like, we got to have this money or else we are in big doo-doo. And he says one of the challenges is we're not really sure whether the voters are on board or where they are. And so there's some sort of polling and research, as I understand it, is what's going to be done. And they want to wait until that comes back before they make decisions about how to pitch it, basically. It's also interesting because by law, they're not allowed to advocate for a tax issue. In fact, like, you can inform people about it. You remember when the half cent came up and there was a lot of info? You're not allowed to advocate for it if you're an elected official. The government cannot advocate for a tax increase, but they can inform people about it. But the discussion here is largely what presentation of the local option sales tax, or what you might think of as the sales tax, right? The portion of it that we decide locally whether we're going to have or not. What's the best way to present that to the voters so that they're going to say yes? So they are very much, I mean, if you're uncharitable, you'd say scheming. If you're charitable, you'd say planning. How can we present this to the voters in order to get them to say yes? Now, that seems to me an awful lot like advocacy, but I know, I'm not saying it legally is. Just, you know, both counties are doing this. Escambia County Commission had a big conversation about when to have it on the ballot in order to get the best chance to have it get passed. You know, so they are also, again, scheming or planning, depending on whether you like or don't like what they're doing. But this is a big deal for both counties. And by the way, I'll just say, I think both taxes make sense. And I do think that both counties would be in big trouble if they didn't have these taxes coming in. But okay, Kerry Smith again.
I'm not against it. By no means am I against it. It's just, I don't want us to put ourselves in peril. And that, I hope you guys can see that and understand that. Let's just put this aside for now is my proposition.
So part of what he wants to wait for is to find out what people really are motivated by. Part of what he wants to wait for, as I understand it, I believe that's the case. Part of what he wants to wait for is things like, what's Tallahassee going to do? And we'll know better after the session is over, or at least when we get closer. And so he doesn't want to pledge to take some of the money from local option sales tax if it passes, if it renews, and put that into conservation if they're getting dinged on property taxes, and if now all of a sudden they won't be able to afford, you know, roads and fire trucks and sheriff's vehicles because they lose the local option sales tax. That's or give a share of it away. That's what he's concerned about. Well, Rhett Rowell defending something that has been a passion issue for him, conservation land.
The numbers have already been presented statewide, nationally wide, that when you put something on the referendum for conservation, the chances of it passing and getting across that finish line and helping everything else out in the county, it grows and it increases.
So he says this is a way to add to the appeal of the renewal if we promise people, because some people are motivated by having roads. Some people are better roads. Some people are motivated by having better stormwater. Some people are motivated by, hey, we're going to do conservation. Somebody may be motivated by having parks and, you know, playgrounds and things like that. And he's saying, look, we want to capture the voters who are motivated by, you know, conservation land. We can persuade them by doing this. This is a good thing.
Me, the concern is if we don't do it, we're behind. There's no time to wait. There is zero time to wait on this issue in Santa Rosa County.
It's urgent because we keep building. We keep, you know, turning land into buildings. And once, as Ryan Jenkins always says, once you plant houses, you never plant crops again. And, you know, it's an urgent problem, and it's never going to be the right time to wait on preserving farmland, is what he's getting at. And then Colton Wright, remember right at the beginning, Colton Wright kind of wanted to table this item. That was his first thing. And then nobody else seemed to be all that interested in that or say that. And so he kind of moved on. Well, he's going to explain.
All right, gentlemen, this is precisely why I asked us to table the item, because I think once we start having conversations like this right now, it appears as though we're not in agreement and we're all bickering, and that could not be further from the truth.
They've already all agreed they want to protect farmland. And Rhett Rowell is making it an issue where the disagreement is not whether it's important to protect farmland. The issue is when to make that decision and whether to tie it to local option sales tax. And Kerry is like, I don't feel comfortable about this. I think prior to this particular comment, I think Bobby Burkett had expressed some, you know, hesitation about it. Let's wait, maybe is better. And Colt says, this is why I wanted to push the item, because doing this in public at this particular moment makes it look like we're all in disagreement, and we're not in disagreement. We all want to do this. It's only a question of the best way to do it, given the various options that we have. And we've got another meeting coming up where we're going to be talking about all this stuff already. Why advance it to now?
It won't be on the ballot till November. The language, I think, is due August sometime, maybe early August is when I think the ballot language is required to the SOE's office and to the state.
Supervisor of Elections.
To wait until March, sometime in late March, to have information and do some, frankly, give us all an opportunity to internally talk to, or externally talk to people in our districts, in our communities, about how they feel about it.
So we have time. We don't have to really come up with ballot language that would say something like conservation status is going to get some of this money until August. We have time to wait, to talk to people, to do our research, to figure out what's going on. There's no urgency to this. And then,
you know, the problem I have with the way this item was brought forward.
Uh-oh.
It was put on the agenda as an approval or denial to allocate future sales tax funds to farm conservation, and there was zero backup. There was nothing put to the public that said 5%, 10%, 20%. There was nothing saying what it looked like. There was nothing published out there. Today, we're given this information on the dais, and I understand this is agenda review for Thursday's meeting. But the problem I have with that is you gentlemen knew that I wouldn't be at Thursday's meeting. That was announced publicly. So it's either I go along with it and put it on the consent agenda, meaning I'm in agreement with whatever it ends up being, or I say, well, we need to have a vote on Thursday, and I'm not here to vote.
So there's no information about how much or what the plan is. It's not an urgent problem. We've all previously said we are on board with this. Now here at a meeting, you're pushing us to do a thing that at least two of us have expressed some uncertainty about right now. And I'm not even going to be here. He's talking on Tuesday about today's meeting. Okay, Thursday's meeting. I'm not even going to be here Thursday to meet. So if I push to move it on the regular agenda, I won't even be here to vote on it. If I don't do anything, then it stays on consent and people think I'm on board with this, which I'm not. So what are we even doing here? Why'd you do this?
I would hope that wasn't done intentionally.
Oh, no.
But I just think it's a bad look. I think it's a bad look to publish an item and not have any backup for it when you start talking about taxpayer dollars and where we're going to spend them and how we're going to allocate them. There's no plan.
There's no plan. This timing is weird. We don't have an amount. There's no information. Why are you forcing this? And by the way, if I'm going to go out in the public and talk to people about what they care about when it comes to local option sales tax and, you know, see if they're going to vote for it, and I'm talking to the mom in Tiger Point walking her kids around the track at the park, you think it's going to make her excited that some of her money is going to go to pay to conserve farmland in Jay?
Here's one issue that we're going to have. I can tell you, if you go to Tiger Point Park or you go someplace on the south end and you come across a mother with, you know, an 8-year-old, a toddler, and someone and a kid in a stroller, and you ask them, are they willing to take their low option sales tax dollars that are paying for their parks and their roads and their public safety and carve some of it off to pay for a farm 60 miles away from them, I think you're going to find a number of those that, unless you can actually make the argument on why and why it's important, they're going to balk at that.
So, should I say the outcome now, or should I tell you we're going to pick this up at 6:35?
As much as I want to know the outcome, let's pick it up at 6:35.
All right, so we'll come back to this. You know, there's more. This is a Days of Our Milton episode.
Yes.
And we're only in, like, Act 1. There's only two acts because I just don't have enough time in the schedule today for there to be three acts, okay? But there is definitely a second act to this play, and you will enjoy it. It'll come up next hour. And if you can't listen at 6:30, the podcast is always there. You can always go grab the podcast at newsradio923.com. Meanwhile, if you're thinking about selling a home or buying a home, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty are really effective at this. They sold 209 homes last year. That's 4 a week. That means that every week, on average, they're closing 5 houses. It means basically every other day, right? They're closing a house. That produces a lot of experience in the market. What are the right prices? What are people liking? What are they not liking? What are their hesitancies? What problems do we need to solve to help them get their house sold or bought? And by the way, one of the things that, you know, Christina, they actually sold 165 the year before, so they're up 30% in a market that's pretty challenging. There's a lot of people that are struggling to sell homes. One of the things they've been successful at doing is selling homes that other agents have not been able to sell. You know, two agents fail. They're the third. They sell the home. 5 agents fail. They're the sixth. They sell the home. There's actually 2 cases like that. And one, and this is, I still can't wrap my brain around this, but somebody had 7 real estate agents that couldn't sell her house. Christina was and her team were the 8th when they sold the house. I mean, that's just, I'd be pulling my hair out. Like, I'd be crazy. But they did because they managed to figure it out. And sometimes even, there was one story she was telling me where they actually raised the price. It was a home that they were told, I forget the number, and I'm making it up, probably going to get it wrong, but I think they were told that the house couldn't sell for more than $499. And she said, no, I think I can get $600. Put it on the market for $600 and got a cash offer within a couple of days. Like, because she understands the market, knows what will work and what doesn't work. Anyway, 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate, managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR can help you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
Visit Pensacola is home for all things Pensacola. I'm Darren Schaefer, CEO of Visit Pensacola. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel this week as we discuss what is next for our community.
This week, we have some great news from Condé Nast to brag about. Pensacola Beach is the number one beach in America. It's Mardi Gras weekend, plus the SBC basketball tournament is coming soon.
Today at 9:30, let us show you the way to beach on News Radio 92.3.
You don't want rumors. You want confirmation. News Radio 92.3, 95.3 and AM 1620. You want confirmation. Informative, local, dependable.
They got a name for people like you, Hi. That name is called recidivism.
Repeat offender.
Not a pretty name, is it, Hi?
No, sir.
Shot to the heart and you're too late, darling. You give love a bad name.
Recidivism. Repeat offender. David Wayne is our repeat offender in the newsroom this morning with our headlines, David.
not sure how I feel about that.
Would you feel better or worse if I said you were a recidivist?
I don't know.
Boy, this got deep all of a sudden.
Go on.
Can't we go back to yesterday when I was just the armpit of the news world? So investigators are looking for the missing mother of TV personality Savannah Guthrie and say they may have found a clue in the Arizona desert. The FBI says they recovered a black glove near her home in Tucson. They're testing it for fingerprints and DNA.
Can I just, as a side note on this story, and I know people disagree about whether this is or is not a big significant story or whether it's getting covered too much or not enough. I'll just tell you, I hate having to see this psycho on the TV every 10 seconds.
Yeah.
That's not good for the country. I mean, it's just not good for the country for everybody to see some crazy lunatic breaking into somebody's house every 10 seconds on the TV. Because the way your brain works, you process that as a threat every time. So, you know, people have seen hundreds of threats in their, you know, their daily news cycle over the course of time. And this is not good for the country. Even, I mean, well, it's true. Oh, okay. A lot of true things you don't need to say or show. Anyway, go ahead, David.
Convicted killer Alex Murdaugh may soon be getting a new trial. The South Carolina Supreme Court heard oral arguments on Wednesday by Murdaugh's attorneys. They're seeking a new trial for the shooting deaths of his wife and his son in 2021. His lawyers reportedly claimed there was jury tampering and prejudicial evidence. Boy, I can't read this morning, Andrew.
It's a little rough.
Oh, I don't know what's going on. The heads of tech companies are testifying in a landmark trial to decide if social media is intended to be addictive. And Instagram head Adam Mosseri took the stand Wednesday in Los Angeles. Meta boss Mark Zuckerberg scheduled to testify next week.
You got through that one just fine.
It took some effort.
Well, you really obviated the need for us to find somebody else.
Well, thank you very much.
See what it did there?
Nice throwback.
Yeah. You're welcome. David, thanks so much for the update. Oh, somebody texts in, as far as transfer development rights, I don't think the government should be in the business of telling landowners what they can and cannot do with their land when it comes to selling it to a developer or putting crops on it. If a landowner chooses to sell to a developer, then I think that's their prerogative, and the government should not step in the way of that. Oh, no, what you're sort of hinting at is, like, we just shouldn't have any zoning rules. Well, there is a bill in the State House. Anyway, but within the idea of having zoning restrictions, this is where you pay the landowner to forsake or forfeit the development right. And if you pay, you're basically changing the status of the land, a kind of a zoning issue. And then once they sell the land, you don't, like, just suddenly get unlimited rights to do whatever you want with it. It carries with it whatever that rule is. So it's not taking it away. It is paying somebody to make the land less valuable because they're giving up the opportunity to develop it. And so the land is just less valuable by rule. And then if they sell it, you don't, like, reacquire that. That'd be ridiculous. Because then I'm going to pay you not to develop it. And then they sell it and somebody else develops it, like, you haven't solved anything. So there'd be no point to it. But it's not government intrude. It's not eminent domain. It's not a Bert Harris. It's not. They're not taking it. They would be compensating for it. That's a key thing. Let's see. 437 16. Oh, no, I can't. I don't have time to get to all that. well, we some very interesting stuff from incoming, assuming he's confirmed tonight, Chief Eric Winstrom at the PPD. We'll talk about that next hour, and we'll give you our part two of the Santa Rosa County drama.